Your mind matters. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and let's begin with verse 1. With that word of wisdom from our Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 reads, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." There's a great difference. Once you know the Father and you walk in Him, you walk in that Spirit. You're repentant of any sin you might have committed. You're above them. 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." On repentance, naturally, in loving Him, in following the true law, not the ordinances, not the blood sacrifices that was nailed to the cross. But the law itself remains to keep us out of trouble. Verse 3. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." He came born in the flesh just like you are. Every temptation that you face, He faced. There's just one big problem. He overcame them. Therefore, He was the perfect sacrifice for one and all times. 4. "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Their mind is in a different place. They seek to please God, to have God's blessings, and to have eternal life. That's where the difference comes in. Verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Now, I want to talk a minute about minded. The word minded here is phaneo. And this would confuse many people if you don't really stop and think. What does it mean? It means the diaphragm. From, ao, okay? And in English translated, it is diaphragm. Well, tell me, pray, what does the diaphragm have to do with our mind? The diaphragm is a wall. It is a wall between the chest cavity and the abdomen. It is the wall between the upper body and the lower body. When this wall contracts, that's to say your diaphragm, it expands the lungs and you breathe. You breathe in the Spirit. And because of breathing that breath, that Spirit, it has a great deal to do, if you would, with your strength of the breath. And hence also the human spirit and the emotions. And it is translated many times inner part. That's your diaphragm. Your mind. Well, why does it say mind way down at the diaphragm? Well, it does in many, many places. Consciousness and understanding. Now, I want to call your mind back to Genesis. Don't turn there, but Genesis 2:7. You'll remember it. God formed Adam, and He breathed the breath of life into him, and he became a living soul. So that breath of life, when you take in those deep breaths, that's the way Pat was able to win 6 pennants. Breathing and exercising yourself, training yourself in that deep breath, as well bringing in the Spirit of the living God. So he can liken that. Well, how possibly could you translate that mind? Well, when the diaphragm, when it contracts, forcing the lungs to expand, you're breathing in oxygen. And oxygen then translates through the lungs to the brain. If you don't have it, you don't think. Your mind can't function without that breath, without that Spirit. In Greek, it's pneuma. In Hebrew, it's ruach. the Spirit of the living God. So I like to think of it as well, and I'm taking a little on myself to do it, but I like to feel it's a wall between the upper body, meaning spiritual, and the lower body being carnal, the diaphragm is. So from it comes that feeds the mind. There are many other words translated as mind, even the heart, the cardio, can be translated mind. But we're going to stick with this one today because it has to do with the breath of life, with that exchange. You cannot be healthy. You cannot exist properly. You cannot think properly. Else you let that diaphragm contract and expand those lungs, drawing in that nature, that oxygen that God placed here for us that feeds the mind and gives you the ability to even be creative in His Word and to absorb it. So you can't think in the flesh from your diaphragm. You got to think spiritual. You got to think in Him. It makes a big difference, and it brings clarity to our understanding in the Word of God. Therefore, it can be translated inner part. And many times you might be snowed by a scripture that might say, from your inner part you can determine this, because it feeds the brain. Okay? And or the mind or consciousness or understanding. If your mind isn't properly fed, there's no way you can have understanding. That's why many of you I have trouble sleeping at night. Well, breathe. You know, take 10 deep breaths and sleep. Okay. Use your mind. Your mind matters. Use it and find the peace that comes from the living God. Well, I'm a little bit uptight at times. Breathe. Be normal. Take deep breaths. Feed your brain. And you've got one, I think. So I know you do. It's got to be fed. Okay. So the number one thing is oxygen. So therefore, this is why God chose to use that word, that wall between the upper body and the lower body. I know that that's quite a step for some to grab onto that. Ephraeo is in the Greek, every time that is minded or mind, is diaphragm. Because it feeds the mind and makes the mechanism that God created that causes you to be a living soul. And that's what's important. You don't want to be a mortal soul. That means liable to die. You don't want to go there. And sin in this world or letting carnal take over will get you there. Okay? You don't want any part of that. You want to think up. You want to think positive. You want to think in our Lord. So then continuing on with verse 7 in Romans 8. Because the carnal mind, that's the diaphragm, is enmity against God. When you go lower than that and when you don't use it for the right purpose, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's not going to fit. It won't work. So you got to get rid of carnal. 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're thinking in the flesh, if you're acting in the flesh, you have two bodies. You got to think in your spirit mind, in your spirit body, and be blessed. You know, it makes such a big difference in this life, in this troubled world, if God blesses you. It kicks a lot of rocks out of the road. It makes life so much more pleasant. You know what? With God's blessings, you can even smile every once in a while. It doesn't hurt you one bit to smile a little every once in a while when you know God is blessing you. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You think in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And so it is that our Father arranges this one more verse here. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that means make alive, your mortal, meaning liable to die, bodies. He'll make them live for eternal by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So there you have it. Again, a lot of people are going to wrestle with that. From the inner part, from the diaphragm, we think, yes, you do. Because if you don't exercise it, you're not going to do much thinking. You're not going to have much of a life. That exercises the mind both mentally and physically. Well, it gives the mind the ability to think mentally when you exercise it physically by feeding it properly. After all, how was it in the beginning? Genesis 2:7, what did I say? God breathed into the lungs of Adam, and he became what? A living, that's to say, living life. Soul, that's what he became. You know, you might have a little better understanding. You've all heard of the Hemlock lip maneuver. When somebody is choking, when you get below the diaphragm and you compress it up, woo, when you compress, I feel better already. When you compress it up, it clears the esophagus, it clears the thoracic, and whatever foreign object might have stopped it, it throws it out. Okay, because of the diaphragm. Very simple, but it's so very important. After all, that's what you breathe with. That's how important it is. And therefore, God calls it your thinking process, your conscience, your doing right from wrong. Why? Because you're thinking and you're feeding that mind with that oxygen, which that diaphragm causes you to breathe. You know, without it, you couldn't breathe. You know, and it's, I shouldn't go into it, but now that it comes to my mind, maybe Father wants, you all know I'm an EMT. And if someone's rib cage is broken, they can't breathe, okay? It's collapsed, and the lungs will collapse. So you've got to tie something around them, bandage it, to take the place of the ribs so that the diaphragm can pump, can contract and bring oxygen into those lungs, or you're dead. Okay. So that's something an EMT's got to spot. If somebody gets hit with a steering wheel and it collapses the ribs, you can't breathe. Because if your ribs give way when the diaphragm contracts, you're not going to get any air. So somebody's got to help you. I guess you needed to know that. So anyway, back to God's Word. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read verse 1 or 2, and then we're going to skip to 14. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I mean, that's only right. It's only reasonable. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you really want to be blessed, you want to find out what the will of God is. Don't only just find out what it is. Do it. And boy, you will be blessed. He will bless you right out of your bonnet. He is so good to us. When you know His will and follow it, you transform yourself into a child of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. I mean, that's simple. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Your faith brings your gifts. If you've got enough faith, He'll give you the gift. That may sound a little strange, but that's the way it functions. For as we have many members of one body, and all members have not the same office. You got teachers, interpreters, and so on and so forth. We make one many-membered body to get the job done. Skip to verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Well, you can afford that. You don't have to curse somebody. You know, if you're a representative of the living God, you don't have to. You know why? He's going to take care of it. You don't. If you've got any faith at all, rest assured, God will handle it. If you're in His will, you don't have to curse somebody. God will take care of it. It'll work out. Why? He loves you. He doesn't want anybody picking on you. And He's going to thump their gourd. Okay? You can rest assured. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Have compassion. When somebody is suffering, find out why and give your condolences and raise them up. Always make a difference. That's what your mind does. It outthinks the world. Your mind makes the world a better place if you're serving God. Verse 16, be of the same mind, here's our word again, diaphragm, one toward another. Mind, diaphragm, not the high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise. Do you know what that word wise is? It's ephrameo. It's diaphragm again. The word wise is wisdom in your own conceits. In other words, you've all heard me say it in teaching. It isn't important how much you know when you're talking to a new person. You don't dump your knowledge upon them and snow them and maybe drive them away. You talk on their level, graciously and with understanding, and bring them up. I mean, improve, don't tear down. The divine spirit never destroys that is good. The divine spirit will always build and improve and pick up. And you all breathe the same air. And that diaphragm feeds your mind as it does everyone else's mind. And your lungs function when that diaphragm contracts. It pulls in that good oxygen that God caused to make you a living soul. And a living soul always improves by not condescending, by going to the level that this person is. But don't let him think you're talking down to him or her. You try to keep it on a level whereby they can understand. In other words, it's quite simple. Build up. Don't tear down. You show me somebody that tears down and they're injurious to the ministry. It does much harm. Always build up. The Holy Spirit always leaves things better than they were before He touched them. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. You know, honesty is honorable. And you cannot serve God if you're not honest. It just won't fly, okay? I mean, it will document you as a fake quicker than anything else if you're not honest. So you got to be straightforward with the Word of God, and you've got to teach it as it's written, not how you want it to be. You got to teach it the way God wants it, not the way some man might want to hear it. Verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Well, naturally, it's not possible to live peaceably with all men. Just because you're a Christian, if you've got a neighbor that's a real slob, take advantage of, tear down, rip, destroy property, you don't have to get along with him. Not in God's word, but who's going to take care of it for you? You're supposed to defend yourself, but guess what? God's going to take care of it. They're not going to be happy campers. if they offend one of God's elect, he says, touch not mine anointed. And he meant it. If anything ticks God off quicker than you know what, it's touching one of his anointed. It's bad business. And God will take care of it. You don't have to worry about it. But getting along is an art. But don't be one of these bleeding heart Christians that think you become a stepping mat to every creature that walks by. You're not. You're a child of God. If it's possible to get along with somebody within the will of God, fine. If not, if they're not in the will of God, then you don't need to get along with them all that well. Be a good neighbor. End of story. 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And so it is. Our Father takes care of business. Deuteronomy 32:20-35. It belongs to him. You can find it in that Deuteronomy 32 happens to be the song of Moses. And that's talking to his very elect. He said, I'll take care of it. You don't have to worry about it. Vengeance doesn't belong to you. It belongs to me. Father speaking. Okay. And so it is. Verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Whoa, now wait, what does that mean exactly? Plant a seed, the Word of God. Okay, doesn't mean you got to bring him in and sit him down at your table and fix him a steak. It means give him something that's really good for him, the Word of God. Okay, feed him the real truth. If he thirsts, give him a drink of what? The living water. And Christ is that living water. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. It's either going to correct him or at least let him know where he should be. 21, this is how you operate. When your old diaphragm is pumping right, and when you're using it right, and when it's feeding the mind and you're using it, and it's clicking, this is what you say. 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And so it is. The diaphragm is called the midsection. It's so very important in God's Word. He uses that. So don't ever think bad of it. Well, I thought the brain was in the head. Well, it is. But, you know, we're a many-membered body. And if you think just the head is all that's going to do something, you're mistaken. It takes the diaphragm. That causes the breathing. We don't all have the same obligation. We all make up a different part of that many-membered body. And one just can't get it done. Okay. Good English there. But as a many-membered body, we can cut it. Everybody has their part. And God takes care of the rest. How precious it is. All right, let's go then, if we may, to Philippians. Let's go to Philippians. I want to go to chapter 3, the great book of Philippians. And we begin reading with verse 13 of chapter 5. Chapter 3, Philippians. And we're going to begin with verse 13. 3:13, Philippians. And it reads, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. That means I don't consider myself to have totally accomplished what I want to do, make it to heaven. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Always look ahead, plan ahead, think ahead. If you think in the back, you're in trouble, okay? Think ahead, plan ahead. You know, that's what makes flying such a wonderful experience. The first thing you learn is keep ahead of the thing. Keep your mind way ahead of where you are, and you'll stay out of trouble. you get behind, you could die. Okay. So it's the same way in life. Always plan your day. Think ahead. Well, and you know what happens when you start looking back? Well, if I had. Well, you didn't. Okay. So get over it. Okay. Talk to the Father and find out, you know, if anything, let the diaphragm pump a little oxygen up here and know, well, hey, if it didn't work then, let's don't do that again. Let's try something better. Okay. That's what we call experience. And remember it well. Okay. 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we all press for. Why we love Him. And we want to be pleasing to Him. And when you are pleasing to Him, He's going to make it good for you, beloved. That's His promise. And He always keeps it. You can't be a doubter and have that come to pass. To doubt is to promise. To doubt is to doubt every promise that God has made. It's not right. And you shouldn't do that. God makes a promise. Depend on it. Count on it. Look forward to it. Plan for it. Verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect. This word perfect means mature. When you're a child, you're a child. When you're an adult, think as one. Be thus minded. Here's our word, that old diaphragm kicking right back in again. And if anything, you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. If you'll work at it. If you'll try for it, God will reveal things to you that you just had overlooked before that was unimaginable. You know, you couldn't minister if God didn't help you in that, if He didn't show you new things, if He didn't help you feed the sheep. He does that if you'll trust Him, if you'll reach for it. He will always add on to you if you use it for the whole body, not just yourself. So there's where our word is, how precious it is that God created us in a way that when you look at the midriff, the understanding, the functioning of our very being, makes life a lot better. 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Let's live up to it. You know, what you've covered, live up to it. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. If you see somebody bringing another Christ, you see somebody bringing another message, you mark them. Okay? False teaching. You have to be prepared for that. It's out there. 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, claim to be Christian, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And so they are. And somebody that brings a false message, they are automatically an enemy of the cross. You can't have that. And so it is. Verse 19, whose end is destruction or perdition. They're going into perdition. Whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And there's your word again. They mind earthly things. Can't help it. The old diaphragm is pumping lower instead of higher. The carnal body is doing the thinking, not the spirit body. Verse 24, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where you look. That's where the truth is. He is the living Word. You're holding it. 21, to complete here. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. In other words, we're not going to have this body that has a diaphragm like this. You're going to have a totally spiritual body transformed as His. And how precious it's going to be. how precious at that time to serve the living God. Open your Bibles now in conclusion to Ephesians chapter 5. Book right before this, Philippians chapter 5. We pick it up with verse 6. And verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 5 reads, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God unto the children of disobedience." It really tears things up to have false teaching. You can't go there. "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Come away from it. Stay in the Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." You know, there should be no darkness in your life when you walk in that light. Just, you know, sometimes when you're in the darkest room in the house, light a little candle. It reflects the whole room. A little bit of light makes a lot of difference. This is where the light is. It's the Word of God. Verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." That's how you test the fruit. Verse 8 again, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now ye are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And so it is when you exercise that, you grow. 10, "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." You know, that's real life. When you go from one day to the next, knowing what pleases God by the way you live. You know, you don't have to think, you don't have to let your mind breathe a lot of oxygen to know whether or not you're pleasing to God, because He's going to bless you if you are. Verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." That means expose them if there's a false teacher. I mean, call him on it. Verse 12, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Adding things to the Word of God. That's an abomination. Verse 13, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light." Whatever documents itself in front of you, it's going to create light if it is of God. 14, "Wherefore he saith, awake, from thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." That's a promise, and He will do that. Well, I really have trouble sometimes understanding things. Breathe deep and ask the Father. That's all you got to do. Do you know why? Because you're His child, and He loves you. And if you're thinking properly and you ask Him, He's going to make it known to you. As a minister of God's Word, I can guarantee you that is a true statement. Many times deep thoughts hidden in Scriptures for a reason are difficult for this mind to understand. But when you ask Him to let that light shine into your mind whereby you can simplify it, that all can understand, He'll do it. And that makes the Word come alive. It makes you come alive, not just living, not just breathing, but eternal life. Verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And so it is that word wise is there. How precious it is. Wisdom comes from where? Understanding, the diaphragm, feeding the brain. 16, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Look around you today. Listen to the news. It's evil. Well, what does that have to do with you and the Lord? Nothing. Don't look back. Look ahead. And let it make a difference in your life whereby you can be a comfort to others. Here's why we came here. Verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. This word unwise here is aphron, and rune from diaphragm. Okay. Don't be unwise by not using the diaphragm. Do you know what it means? Unwise means unwitting, unmindful. It means, let's just be honest, it means stupid. Okay. You don't need that. Think. If you follow the way of the world, it is stupid. And we've heard that politically even a time or two here in this last week or so. Think. God gives you that brain. Use that diaphragm. Inhale that good oxygen and put this in gear. And think. Don't follow the foolish. Don't follow the unwise. Follow sound doctrine. Follow soundness in life itself, in this world. Mark that is evil. And get rid of it. Avoid it. Don't put up with it. You don't have to. Why? You are a child of God. You're one of His anointed. And He has said, touch not mine anointed. So you don't have anything to worry about. Don't look back. Look ahead. There's better days coming. How precious it is to serve, to be dedicated, to love, and to be engaged, endowed to that great wedding that's coming. Our Heavenly Father, when He returns that Son, and salvation certainly has moved into gear, and things begin to happen. And so it is, and that's the way it is when you lose your place. Verse 18, I think. And verse 18 reads, don't be unwise. That is stupid. Okay. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's the high you want, is the Holy Spirit. Don't look back. Look ahead. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always for all things unto God and to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you do that? Do you just keep looking ahead saying, gimme, gimme, gimme? We've kind of got a gimme gimmick going on. Okay. Everybody's expecting gimme, gimme. Christians don't do that. You have to earn what you receive. You've got to serve to get it. The living God. So if God gives you something, well, He hasn't given me anything. Whoa, hold on a minute. Your diaphragm's working, isn't it? If it isn't, you're in bad shape. You're breathing oxygen. Guess who gave that to you? He did. It's free. Thank Him for it. And when He moves rocks out of the road for you, don't forget, when you sit down to a table, take a moment, bow your head. You don't have to, but if you want to, bow it or leave your eyes wide open, doesn't matter. But thank Him for the food and for your day. And let Him know you appreciate it. And if you're wavering a little bit, ask Him about His will for you. Everyone has a destiny and a calling, and our time soon is coming when many are going to be delivered up, as it's written in Mark 13, to witness against the false one. With the Holy Spirit speaking through you, and you wonder what your destiny is, give me a break. Okay. What a time to live. To live now. And let that light reflect from you, thinking and knowing our Father's in control, and our diaphragm is working, which is translated mind in many places, and you are mindful of what you do. Take care of yourself. Breathe deep. Think. Relax. Be cool. Don't let them see you sweat on your first cruise. You know, getting all nervous and excited can get you dead in combat. Okay? You've got to think. And you've got to think with a cool head. Because we've got some times ahead where you need to be a cool. That's the way you get it. Breathe deep. Relax. Father's on the throne. You're one of His anointed. And we've got it made. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for the Word. Thank You, Father, for Your precious Word that You send us, a letter instructing us, telling us how to overcome in this world, even in these troubled times. We love You so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
The mark of the beast.